Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that's right. She is better looking than you anyway, Rob. I was chatting with Rob Nadelson off air just before we kick off the show. And I was like, all right, hey, Rob, can you join us for the full hour or most of the hour anyway? Because, man, I know doing this legal analysis of Constitutional Initiative 128, it's going to take a lot of time to get through. Plus, I know we have callers that want to mix it up. I said, but at the very end of the show, I've got some audio highlights, some highlights of the speech in Great Falls yesterday by South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. And I got to play at least a couple minutes of those highlights. But yeah, Rob, you were telling me, well, she's prettier than me anyway. So you got the first thing of the show right already.
Well, yeah, Adam, I mean, I know my limits. I'm not going to compete with Kristi Noem.
You know, whenever I tell people that I do a radio show for a living, they're like, oh, I got a face for radio. And I was like, well, I don't even got that. So you're two steps ahead of me now. So, but well, we do what we do around here. We try, you know. Well, Rob, it's great to have you back on the radio airwaves. Man, you got your start in talk radio way back in the 90s, I think it was. And then, of course, a former University of Montana constitutional law professor. Now you head up the Independence Institute's Constitutional Studies Center, if I'm not mistaken. And so great to have you with us this morning to talk about CI 128, one of these ballot initiatives here in Montana.
I always love talking to a Montana audience because I can pretend I'm there instead of in exile in Colorado. But I will be back in Montana a few days. You know, we've got family and connections there all over the state. We just love to spend time there.
What's your, with, you know, about a minute or so before we go to our first break, and then we'll talk in more depth after that, but what's the biggest takeaway from CI 128 from your standpoint, from a legal standpoint? To me, it shows that it's about much more than just abortion that's being debated here.
That's right. The legal takeaway is it's a mess, and it's filled with unexpected consequences. Some of the wording could open the way for the Montana Supreme Court to protect the mutilation of children and other parts of the so-called gender fluidity agenda. Certain parts of it are actually incoherent. We have no idea what they mean. Certain parts of it would result in the destruction of many perfectly viable babies, you know, would be considered viable under most definitions. And so when I went through it, I was kind of imagined I was a law professor once again. I was grading a student paper. And you should see the thing. It's all marked up because it's such a chaotic piece of legislation. The people who want an abortion right stuck in the Montana Constitution need to be told, come back with something more coherent. Come back with something that doesn't have unintended consequences and that doesn't promote any other hidden agendas.
Great summary. We'll talk more with Rob Nadelson about his recent legal analysis of CI 128 on your ballot this November. And by the way, millions in out-of-state funding backing it.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
For those who missed it, last week, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte joined us here on Montana Talks, and I started by getting his take on the ballot initiatives. Here's what he said about CI 128. Let me see if I queued it up in the right spot for you.
It's poorly worded. It's misleading. It says that once a baby reaches viability, you need someone in the medical profession to approve the abortion. But the way it's worded, it could be the Secretary of Planned Parenthood who authorizes the abortion for any reason. And it's to put something in the Montana Constitution that would authorize abortion up through and including the moment of birth, it's just not the right thing. I believe life is precious. It should be protected. Reasonable people can disagree on when you draw the line, but when the baby is viable, we should not be performing abortions.
All right, so that's what Governor Greg Gianforte had to say last week. Rob Nadelson, let's just jump right into the technical details. Our listeners are familiar with this topic. What are some of the technical details that you want to focus on? Maybe start with some of the definitions that are included in this ballot initiative.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And let's start where the governor ended off. He talked about viability. When obstetricians and others use the term viability in the medical profession, it means generally a child of about 23, 24 weeks gestational age. That tends to be moving back now because there have been so many advances in technology. So, but that's generally the way they understand the word viability. However, when a child is born at, say, 24 weeks or even later, even though the child is considered viable, the child is put in intensive care. What CI-128 does is it redefines viability. It redefines viability to depend upon, as the governor pointed out, a medical professional. It could be anyone. It could be an unlicensed person. It could be, as he said, the Secretary of Planned Parenthood. It changes that definition of viability because it says that a fetus isn't viable if extraordinary medical efforts are necessary to keep it alive. Well, putting the kid in intensive care is an example of an extraordinary medical effort. And so one effect of CI-128 probably would be the slaughter of a lot of children who are viable by the medical definition, but not viable by the way that CI-28 redefines that term. That's one example. The governor also said it was misleading and poorly drafted. He's dead on right about that. Let's use another example. Everybody knows in this country we have or are supposed to have free speech, right? But we also know we can't scream fire in a crowded theater when there's no fire, and that the government has a right to punish us if we do something like that. That's the limit of our free speech right. And the way the courts sometimes define that is they say that our right ends when the government has a compelling governmental purpose or compelling state interest in overriding our right of free speech. Well, in the case of screaming a fire in a crowded theater, the government has a very compelling interest in preventing a riot, especially a riot based on false pretenses. So that term compelling state interest defines the outer limits of the right, where you don't have the right anymore. And by the way, it's used the same way in the Montana Constitution. CI-128 changes that. CI-128 says under certain circumstances abortion can be regulated, but then it says, and those circumstances include compelling state interest, but then it defines compelling state interest in a way that does not permit you to restrict the choice of abortion. So the idea of compelling state interest is supposed to say where the public interest comes in and the right ceases. CI-128 changes that to a definition that's really meaningless. That is to say, you can regulate abortion if it's compelling state interest, but you can't adopt any regulation that restricts the right, that restricts the power to abort. It's contradictory. It very, very, very poorly drafted, and frankly, nobody knows what the courts would do with it, but I give Aaron a pretty good guess. There are other provisions in the Montana Constitution which are not well drafted. None is quite as ugly as this, but they're not well drafted. They're confusing, and the Montana Supreme Court uses them as a tool for taking decisions away from the legislature, away from the people, and consolidating power in itself. And I think that's what the court would do here. I don't know if this sloppiness is the result of incompetence or whether it's the result of design. But either way, what it's going to mean is you're going to have lawyers and judges governing us instead of our elected representatives governing us.
Yeah, great example. At least I would think what you're talking about here is the right to a clean and healthful environment. So vague to where they can use it to shut down anything they want to shut down. They can use it to go after our natural resource industries. They can use it to rule against agriculture, for example. But nothing they do ever impedes on the right to a clean and healthful environment. So they can, you know, still do whatever they want to do. And that's not against, but it's, they want the radical left-wing Montana Supreme Court to basically make all of these decisions instead of the elected lawmakers and the elected governor elected by we the people. Rob Nadelson, great to get your insight. Hold that thought. We'll take another quick break here on Montana Talks. There were several other defects that Rob Nadelson identified in his legal analysis of CI 128. We'll get to that and more. Plus, if you want to jump in on the conversation, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, hey, the phone lines are open if you want to jump in on the conversation. We've got a great guest on the show this morning talking about a legal analysis of CI 128. So if you want to jump in on this conversation with Rob Nadelson, give us a call, 406-294-0970. You can also send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got a question or a call or a comment as well. But yeah, right now we're talking with Rob Nadelson about CI 128, this radical abortion initiative that is basically deceptively written. I believe it's deliberately deceptively written in a way where they want you to think that this initiative would allow abortion, yet limit abortion. They want people to think that this would place some limits on abortion, when in reality, the bill is written so vague, or the constitutional initiative is written so vague, that they would basically allow for unlimited abortion all the way up to the due date. But there's more to it than just that, like Rob Nadelson referred to just a few minutes ago. Rob, what were some of the other technical defects that you found in this constitutional initiative? And by the way, it's worth reminding people that the left-wing Montana Supreme Court and some of the other liberal judges, they deliberately overturned the language that state officials had drafted, and instead inserted their own partisan, basically partisan talking points into this initiative process.
Yeah, that was an extraordinary case. I mean, I've never seen anything like that before, where the court said, we're going to write the language for you in order to help get this thing on the ballot. You made a point earlier about the environmental rights in the Montana, two environmental rights in the Montana Constitution. I don't want to get sidetracked by them, but the point here is that the way the courts has interpreted those and the ways they're worded is that they're ambiguous. And whenever you've got a provision which is ambiguous or unclear, that's simply a license for activist courts to take decisions away from the people, away from the elected officials, and concentrate the power in themselves. And by the way, I will say, I usually don't agree with some of the things that Justice Jim Rice does, but he identified one of the contradictions in this particular measure in his argument that this should not have gone to the ballot. Another issue here is the way the measure is worded. It appears to give the right to minors and to non-competent people, people who are under guardianships, to get abortions without any say so from their parents or guardians. There's nothing in here that limits the ability of a person to get an abortion to someone who is a competent adult. And again, you can see the Montana Supreme Court having a field day with that. That wouldn't bother me in some states which have more restrained judiciaries, but when you give red meat to the Montana Supreme Court in the form of an ambiguity, lack of clarity, you can expect them to snatch it up and run with it. And so that's another problem with it. And then there's also, and we mentioned this at the very beginning of the hour, the way the initiative is worded. You know, abortion is generally thought of as a woman's right. CI 128 says nothing about women. It never mentions women. It never mentions, it doesn't even use the pronouns she or her. It talks instead about pregnant persons or pregnant patients or a pregnant patient aborting their child. This is woke language. This is language which is not only out of place in the Montana Constitution, but it's an open invitation to the Montana Supreme Court to try to insert its version of gender fluidity privileges in the Montana Constitution, you know, potentially protecting constitutionally such activities as child mutilation, as so-called gender-affirming care, which is, of course, exactly the opposite. That's an Orwellian name.
Yeah.
So again, if you pass CI 128, you're giving a weapon into the hands of people to club you with.
Well, and this was interesting. So when the left-wing Montana Supreme Court struck down parental consent, parental notification, where basically your kid could go get a major surgery and you wouldn't even know about it because they wanted to do away with parental notification, even for young minors having an abortion. When they did away with that law, what they wrote in their ruling was also shocking. My friend David Noble, who joins us on the show from time to time, he's a Twitch TV podcaster in Billings, and he's an attorney here in Montana as well. But you guys have chatted before. He pointed out that NBC Montana, in their reporting on that parental notification ruling, basically used the same gender-neutral language, and then they combined that by saying something about how minors have reproductive autonomy. Wait a minute. That goes even beyond the issue of abortion. That goes with minors apparently being able to do whatever they want when it comes to reproduction. That's very dangerous.
Now, there's a legal point, a constitutional point that tends to get missed here. For 100 years, the United States Supreme Court has said that the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment and the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment guarantee to parents the right to raise their own children in accordance with their own values. When the Montana Supreme Court interferes with that by creating so-called rights in children to contradict their parents, they're violating the U.S. Constitution as interpreted by the United States Supreme Court. Now, this is a point, I think, of great importance that the Montana Court has just disregarded for the most part in its decisions. There is a short passage in the court's decision on deciding that parental consent cannot be imposed in abortion. The court said, well, you know, the state really isn't involved here, so the state isn't being, the heck the state isn't involved. The Montana Supreme Court is using the Montana Constitution, interpreting a provision of the Montana Constitution as a way to undermine the federal constitutional right to raise your children as you see best. By the reasoning of this court, a kid could go to court and demand that his parents be prevented from insisting that he attend church. Or a kid could go to court and complain about his parents' decision not to allow the kid to date a particular person. That's how deeply the Montana Supreme Court has gotten itself into the relationship between parents and children. They need to get the heck out, because one of these days, somebody's going to apply for a writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Montana Supreme Court's going to find itself reversed yet again.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering. So, okay, so we have this recent decision here striking down parental notification by the radical left controlling the Montana Supreme Court, which is why a lot of our listeners have been calling in, speaking out in support of Corey Swanson and Dan Wilson, Wilson and Swanson, the sons of Montana, in their respective races for Montana Supreme Court, supporting them.
Ed Nadel's son,
another son of Montana. That's right, yeah. I was over in Park County, and everybody else started running with it too. I think it was Bertel's son said, "Yeah, but it's S-E-N, but just consider me one of the sons of Montana as well." I got a kick out of that one. But basically, so their parental notification ruling that they recently pushed out, so there's millions of dollars. Jeff Lasloff, he told us last week that over $11 million from the radical left out of state money is flooding Montana to promote CI-128. There's just no way his side can match the massive amount of spending. If they're able to pull the wool over the eyes of even just a tiny percentage of Montanans to get a majority vote to put this in the Montana Constitution, could it be overturned by the United States Supreme Court because of this parental notification deal?
That's a very good question. I think in a proper case, yes. If for example, a child claims that CI-128 gives her the right to an abortion no matter what her parents have to say, the parents could presumably bring a lawsuit to vindicate their right to raise their own children. And so, yeah, I could see that going to the U.S. Supreme Court, certainly.
Wow. And, you know, I'll get on my soapbox here once again, but this goes to show again how important this U.S. Senate race is here in Montana and the presidential race because, okay, who nominates Supreme Court justices and federal judges at that? The President of the United States. Who then confirms those nominees? The United States Senate. And if it's a judge, that senator from that state might be the one to pick who that judge is going to be. And so think about it. If they pull the wool over the voters' eyes in a few years from now, it finally goes before a federal judge or the U.S. Supreme Court. Are they going to be facing Kamala Harris, John Tester justices, or are they going to be facing Donald Trump and Tim Sheehy justices and judges? So I don't know. Anyway, I know you hit to make
Aaron,
every... Yeah.
Since you're talking about the wider question, it's important to understand why this is on the ballot. Measures like this are on the ballot all throughout the country. They're purely partisan messages. People on the left recognize that the suburban women vote is going to be pivotal in this election. And so the idea is to try to get these things on the ballot in order to get women concerned about abortion rights to come out and vote Democrat.
That's right. That's right. Hold that thought, Rob, if you can. I got to take a quick break here, unless you got another 10-second liner you want to use.
Well, don't let their agenda cloud your eyes as to what a monstrosity this thing is.
Great line. Okay, hold that thought right there. We've got Kevin in Belgrade first up on the phone lines right after this, and we've got phone lines open for you. So if you've got a question, you got a comment, if you agree, if you disagree, call in right now, 294-0970.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Tomorrow, Tuesday, September 24th, I look forward to joining members of the Montana Grain Growers and the public who will be in Lewistown for the Grains of Wisdom stop. They will be holding this informative session focused on the farm bill and tax planning. The Montana Grain Growers will give an update on activities and issues they are working on, and Pinion will share their expertise on estate planning. I have the pleasure of serving as the MC for the event that will be held starting at 9 a.m. at the Eagles Club in Lewistown. Again, more information can be found on the Montana Grain Growers Facebook page. The Grains of Wisdom event kicking off 9 a.m. at the Eagles Club in Lewistown tomorrow. Well, a cup of coffee may be going up in price. That's because as harvest wraps up this year for Brazilian coffee, drought is already threatening next year's crop. The market is watching how the dry conditions, worsening drought, and the severity over years will affect the coffee plants. Prices are already at a 13-year high when adjusted for inflation. Combining the price of several types of green coffee beans, which averaged $2.38 a pound, the price was up nearly 55% from the same month 8 years ago. In part, prices are rising because of higher demand in Asia, but weather is also driving the increase. I'm Lane Nordlund.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, pick up a pen and a piece of paper or your smartphone. You can plug it into your phone that way, too. Type it into a calendar item. Couple of things. Prepare to copy. All right, you're ready? Okay, a couple of things. One, if you want to read the full analysis Rob Nadelson from the Independence Institute, this full legal analysis of CI 128. It's a very good read, very good information in here. As you're hearing Rob explain it over the radio right now, go to the Montana Family Foundation website. He conducted the legal analysis, as I understand it, on their behalf. So you can find that full legal analysis on their website. There's a couple of things I've highlighted to bring up with you. The other thing I want you to write down, this is a separate topic altogether. Later tonight, you guys have heard I've been doing a bunch of events where I've been partnering with Americans for Prosperity Montana. And past few weeks we've been doing this Bidenomics tour highlighting the high costs of inflation. Well, now I'm partnering with them on a Prosperity is Possible tour tonight, 6:30 p.m. You know, just like we take your phone calls on the radio right now, kind of like a radio town hall meeting. Well, tonight I'm going to be doing a telephone town hall meeting, along with our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana. And the special guest for the teletown hall meeting at 6:30 p.m. tonight is Montana Senator Steve Daines. So you can jump in on the conversation with your calls and your questions. Just like we're talking with Rob Nadelson right now, tonight you can talk with Senator Steve Daines, 6:30 p.m. This is the phone number to call tonight at 6:30. 855-408-1340. Again, that number is 855-408-1340. And that's the teletown hall meeting I'll be hosting along with Americans for Prosperity Montana, featuring special guest Senator Steve Daines coming up tonight. I'll message that number to our producer, Caden, this morning, who's filling in for Travis, just in case anybody missed the number and you want to send us a message on the app to get that number sent to you again. Let's see. Kevin in Belgrade, did you have a quick question or comment for Rob Nadelson?
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for coming on, Rob, and shedding some light on this topic and stuff. I was at a local grocery store when they were gathering signatures for the initiatives, and the person that was gathering the signatures out in the parking lot when I came out was also gathering signatures for CI 126 and 127, and talked with them for a few minutes, and was just kind of rather disgusted with the attitude of the person that was gathering the signatures. She closed her comments by saying that 128 was really her passion. And I wish I would have been not in shock, but had the wherewithal to say to her, killing babies is your passion. Because it really struck a chord with me. I don't know what it was, but it just really bothered me.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Kevin. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you as well. Rob Nadelson, your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, one thing we've not gotten into at this point is the merits of abortion. And that's a whole different topic. My position is that if advocates of legalized abortion want to put something into the Montana Constitution, and they've got the votes to do it, that's their right, but come at us with something that isn't 128, something that isn't ambiguous, something that isn't an open door for additional agendas, something that isn't just a license for judicial governance. And something, by the way, that requires that people who perform abortions be duly licensed and regulated by the state. This is another point. We haven't really talked about it, Aaron, but the 128 doesn't talk about a licensed professional at all. It talks about a treating healthcare professional with no requirement that that person be licensed. Now, I want you to imagine a scenario. I want you to imagine that you're an abortionist, or you're some guy who wants to set up as an abortionist, and you're in some other state, and you've lost your license in that other state because of bad practice. Or maybe you can't get past the exam because you're too stupid or too incompetent to get past the exam, or you don't want to take the courses necessary. Well, 128 is in effect in Montana. All you have to do is move into Montana. No requirement that you be licensed to perform abortions. All CI-128 says is that you have to be a treating healthcare professional. Now, you might come back and say, well, really, would it be interpreted that way? And I would say, yeah, in most states it probably wouldn't be. In most states, once it was in the state constitution, the courts or the legislature would narrow it to licensed professionals. But that doesn't reflect judicial reality in Montana. That doesn't reflect the Montana Supreme Court. As I said, when you hold out a piece of red meat to them in the form of an ambiguity or some kind of an opening, they'll snatch at it and they'll run with it. We cannot afford to put more ambiguity, more lack of clarity in the Montana Constitution.
I like that you put abortion aside because to me this is separate from the overall abortion debate, which is, okay, should we allow it? Should we not allow it?
Because
this is more about should there be any line drawn whatsoever? Should anybody
not just any line drawn, but is there any kind of line in this? I mean,
yeah,
you made the point about it permitting abortion right up to birth, but much of the one of the points I've made is that much of the initiative is ambiguous or changes accepted definitions in ways that it's not aligned at all. It's just a fudge. It's something that that lawyers and judges can write their wishes into without regard to Montana families, without regard to our elected representatives.
A couple of messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. Ann in Wolf Point says this: if a girl gives a Midol to her girlfriend in school for cramps, she gets prosecuted, possibly expelled for drug dealing, but she can get an abortion without parents. Shaking my head, that was from Ann in Wolf Point. Dan in Wolf Point says, so we've heard in-depth analysis on both CI-126 in the past and of course, now continued analysis of CI-128. He says, I would like the same on CI-127. That's from Dan. Oh, Dan from Vita actually sent us that one. I don't know if you want to jump in on the CI-126 and 127 debate at all or not. That's the ranked choice voting scam, if you ask me.
Scam is a good word for it, but I don't want to talk about that today. I do want to pick up on the comment about Midol. If one minor gives another, or an adult gives a kid a Midol without parental permission, the person could be prosecuted. One of the things that I noticed in my recent study I did for the Frontier Institute is that the Montana Supreme Court is very harsh on all businesses except the abortion business. I mean, if you're a general healthcare business, or if you're in the liquor business, or the casino business, or the land use business, or agriculture, or tourism, they'll allow the legislature to come down very hard on you. In some cases, we've seen they'll allow the voters to even put you out of business entirely.
Yeah, even local governments too. Well, your garage is too close to the street.
Yeah, every business and every property owner has only minimal, if any, protection from the Montana Supreme Court, except the business of abortion. You know, that's the sacred cow. Things are bad enough as they are with what we've got. This thing, CI-128, would simply make them worse.
I just got a note on our Montana Talks app from Jason in Billings. He says, "Tell Professor Nadelson that I appreciated his law school property class, and I still use his example of the springing power of attorney. Keep up the good work of clear, clean, textual interpretation," is the message there from Jason.
Well, my response is, God bless you. That's always music to a teacher's ears.
That's right. That's right. Do you miss teaching in the law school?
Not really. I got really, really tired of academia. I mean, the last 15 years of my career, because I was a conservative and because I spoke out on issues, they were very, very difficult there. And then there were the normal things that you don't have to be a conservative to dislike, like grading papers and faculty meetings. Also, at the Independence Institute, I've had a level of support I did not have at the Liberal University of Montana.
Yeah, you've been doing some fascinating writing and research and reports, columns, and more. All right, hold that thought. Sorry to cut you off. We've got to take a quick break. Diane and Troy next on the phone lines right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines. Hey, I mentioned I've got great audio of South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and her speech in Great Falls yesterday. She was at several rallies alongside Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy yesterday, Billings, Great Falls, and Kalispell. I was looking at the photographs from Kalispell and Billings. Wow. Incredible turnout at all three of those rallies yesterday with Sheehy and Noem. I said I was going to share at least one clip with you today. I'm going to save that for tomorrow. I hope, if you don't mind, I'm going to save that audio for tomorrow because we're getting short on time and we got callers we want to get to here and more. And really thankful for Rob Nadelson freeing up some time. Tomorrow's going to be such a big show, by the way. We've got the mayor of Roundup, Montana. A must-hear conversation coming up tomorrow. There's a rally for coal this Friday. I'm going to be there. I know our friends from Coalstrip are going to be there as well. We have got to rally around American energy. That's what the mayor of Roundup is going to be talking about tomorrow. Plus, Kid Petit, he was on that SpaceX spacewalk, what was it, last week? But you remember, they trained for that mission here in Montana because I interviewed him when he was in Montana training for the spacewalk mission. So why not do a follow-up? Kid Petit's going to be with us tomorrow on the show as well. Let's see. Diane and Troy, what's on your mind? Did you have a quick question or comment?
Hi. I got a letter in the mail from Planned Parenthood. I'm not a member and don't donate. But the letter has big, bold, enough is enough, addressed to me at my address. And the return address says 2024 member, Planned Parenthood. It's got a member ID and it's got my name. So I was originally going to call and complain and say, you've got to take me off, because it's embarrassing to have people think that I'm for Planned Parenthood. But then I gave it a second thought, and I'll just keep it and tear it up myself. If they're spending money to send me stuff, they're not sending it to somebody else. And I'm wondering, how many people are they lying about being members? Because if they think I'm a member, that's a lie.
Yeah, or maybe they're using that as a ploy to try to lure people in to think, oh, you know, yeah, good question, good point. Thanks for the call. Rob Nadelson, if you got thoughts on that, weigh in. And then also, since we are short on time, we've probably had some listeners that have jumped in mid-conversation here, and they're probably wondering, okay, we jumped in on this conversation about CI 128. What's the big picture? Give us a summary before we wrap up the hour as well here, if you can.
Okay, she probably received something from Planned Parenthood, because this is part of this wider agenda. She probably was identified as a probable Democratic voter, and so the idea is to get her worked up about abortion so she'll forget what the Biden administration has done to this country otherwise. So that's probably why she got that. Summarizing here on CI 128. Number one, you've got a definition of compelling state interest that is garbled and basically meaningless. It tries to communicate that restrictions can be put upon late-term abortion, but in fact it doesn't. You've also got a definition of fetal viability, which is flatly wrong as a matter of medical practice, but they stuck it in CI-128. There's an absence of any kind of licensing requirement so that Montana could become a cesspool of unlicensed abortion providers who can't get abortions or can't get licenses or have lost licenses in other states. There is an absence of protection for people who are children or people who are in guardianship, because the way CI-128 is drafted, it seems to give people the ability to get an abortion even if they're not competent adults. And finally, the way it is written, and by the way, the way it's written has been mirrored in recent Montana Supreme Court decisions, the way it is written is an open door toward giving the advocates of gender fluidity weapons to promote things like men and women's sports and mutilation of children. This thing is worse than a Trojan horse. We need to not take it into our walls, so to speak. In fact, one could even come up with a phrase, something like, abort CI-128.
Well, and isn't it very interesting? You know, Jeff Lasloff, he made this point last week at the Montana Family Foundation, that they put this ballot, this initiative on the ballot in Montana because they want to drive out the pro-abortion voters for John Tester to try to help save John Tester. But isn't it interesting that this initiative also appears to open the door for men and women's sports? And John Tester not only supports radical no limits abortion, but he also voted to allow men into women's sports. This initiative may do both. Based off this legal analysis.
And the Montana Supreme Court just issued a decision overruling or voiding a legislative measure that tried to prevent men and women's sports in the university system.
I wonder Wade and Malta thinks of that. No comment, probably. No comment. Hey, we're very short on time. Only about, 30 seconds to go. I think it was Marilyn and Lolo, Kermit Gosnell, that abortion doctor, serial killer who got thrown behind bars. Would an initiative like this let somebody like him off the hook? It was. I think that's the question Marilyn was asking to our producer.
We don't know. All I can say is there is conspicuously no licensing requirement in this measure. Even the Montana Supreme Court, as radical as it's been on this issue of abortion, has insisted upon some level of licensing for practitioners. This could very well be construed as overruling that. We can't take the risk. It's too dangerous.
That's right. Rob Nadelson, grateful for your time. Go to MontanaTalks.com. You'll find the details on his legal analysis of this as well, or go to the Montana Family Foundation.